Welcome back to our study, and we're going to pick right up in chapter 7. And just as a reminder of where we left off last in our last video, Esther was having a meal with the king and with Haman, and she brings it out. Now the king had been asking her, "What can I do for you? What's your wish? What's your request?" And he said, "I'll give you up to half of my kingdom." And so she finally lets it out about her life is in danger and the life of her people. And so the way she plays this, she didn't come right out and say exactly what was going on, but the king got upset because her life was threatened and her people. And so he said, "Who would do such a thing to you?" And we saw where she said it was Haman, that evil, that enemy and foe. He's the one who did this to me. And so we left off in verse 7 of chapter 7, where the king now runs outside because he doesn't know what to do, or he's trying to figure out what to do. And so that's where we're going to pick up now as we wrap up this chapter. So look at verse number 7 of chapter 7. It says, "And the king arose in his wrath from the wine drinking and went into the palace garden. But Haman stayed to beg for his life from Queen Esther, for he saw that harm was determined against him by the king." So he's begging for mercy here. Notice he doesn't run after the king. He stays and begs for mercy from the queen, which we said last time. Again, there's this great irony here because he wanted to kill the Jews, and now he's begging a Jew to save him, to show some sort of mercy to him. And so he's begging her for help. The king has ran outside. But now the thing is he's put himself in a legal problem here, because it was illegal for a man to be with the queen alone without the king around. And so now he's put himself in jeopardy just by being there with her. But of course he doesn't care, because he just wants his life spared. So notice what happens now when the king comes back in verse 8. It says, "And the king returned from the palace garden to the place where they were drinking wine, as Haman was falling on the couch where Esther was. And the king said, 'Will he even assault the queen in my presence in my own house?'" So notice he walks in, and maybe what it appears like is he is now going for the queen to attack her. And so the king's hands are tied. He's like, "You're going to now go after her and try to attack her," is what it looks like to him. And so he's like, "Enough of this." And so as the word left the mouth of the king, they covered Haman's face. And then Harbona, one of the eunuchs in the attendance on the king, said, "Moreover, the gallows that Haman has prepared for Mordecai, whose word saved the king, is standing at Haman's house, 50 cubits high." And the king said, "Hang him on that." And they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. And then the wrath of the king abated. So notice this, just this complete twist of reversal of fortunes here, that Haman, the one who wanted to kill the Jews, is now, he's the one who is executed himself. And the stake that he had put there to hang Mordecai on, he himself is now executed on that by the king because of his plan and his plot against them. And so what we see here, and we've talked about this the last couple sessions of this, that we saw what pride can do, we saw what sin can do, and now we see the ultimate end of that. The Bible is very clear that pride comes before the fall, and destruction comes for those who have who do not deal with their sin, who don't repent of their sin. And so we see here that Haman is not sad for what he's done. Haman is not repenting. No, he's just begging for mercy. Because we said that we always want mercy for ourselves. We're not so quick to give it to other people. And so he's just living in this pride. He's living in this sin. And we see the ultimate end of that. And so this should remind us and really wake us up to our pride and our sin. Because we should not believe that we're the exception to the rule, that our sin will not find us out, that pride will not come before our ultimate fall. Now, hopefully, today nobody listening to this is going to be executed for their sin or anything like that, or their pride. But spiritually speaking, it can certainly affect our relationship with God if we are blind to it. And so 1 Peter 5 is very clear. It says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And so today, as we've talked about, and I just kind of want to reiterate that thought today, is that we should never, ever think that we're superior to anybody else. And that's what Haman's problem was, is all of this stemmed from because Mordecai wouldn't give him the honor that he felt like he was due. And instead, he himself is killed. What Mordecai did to him did not harm Haman at all. It just hurt his pride a little bit. And even then, there was nothing that Haman should have demanded of Mordecai from that. But the great reversal here is that through God's providence, Haman met his ultimate end because of his pride. Had he been humble, he would never have been in this situation. And so we have to get real and deal with our sin and our pride. We can't have this superiority complex where we look down on everybody else and we think we're better than anyone. Because we have to understand that when it comes to God, we don't deserve anything from him. Had Haman realized that, he would have been a much more humble person. But no, he thought he was due something. And so we have to really watch our heart and guard our hearts. And when there's pride, when there's superiority, when there's a lack of humility in our life, we have to understand our relationships are going to be affected by that. Others are going to be affected by that. And so we have to be real about that. We have to allow other people to speak into that, because pride is one of those things that is very difficult to see in the mirror. It's very difficult to see in the mirror. And so it may spill out into our relationships. Other people may tell us that. And so we have to be open to recognizing that and hearing that from people that love us enough to say, hey, you know, that's pretty selfish, or that's pretty prideful, or that's pretty boastful. And then we need to not do what Haman did and just beg for mercy when we don't want to face the consequences of that, but rather have true humility and repent of that and ask God to change us from the inside out, because it all begins in our heart. Jesus was very clear that's where it comes from. And so we have to be able to identify that and repent of that and turn from that. Because who we need to model is not Haman. We don't need to follow in his footsteps and look for ways that we deserve honor and we deserve praise from other people, but rather we should be following in the footsteps of Jesus. If Haman is one of the examples of a prideful person, then Jesus is the most humble person that ever lived. And so we need to follow in his footsteps, where Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve. And so we see Jesus over and over stooping down to serve others, to spend time with others, to love others, to even wash the feet of his disciples. If anybody could come in and say, you must bow to me, it's Jesus. But Jesus never did that. Two people that he met. Now, when we face him in eternity, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that he is Lord. But when he came on earth, he didn't go up to everybody and say, you must kneel to me, you must kneel to me. No, he met them where they were. And he loved them, and he cared for them, and he ministered to them. Even people that would turn and walk away from him, he ministered to them and loved them. Didn't mean that he wasn't truthful with them, but we see that he didn't come in demanding anything of others other than honoring God, right? And so if anything, we should say, okay, this, when we see what happens to Haman, this should stir our hearts to say, man, I need to be more like Jesus. God, help me to be more like him, to be humble like him, to be meek, to be someone who is looking to honor you, not for any kind of honor or boasting that's due me. But God, make me more like Jesus so that I don't have either a spiritual end like this or a physical end like this. And so we kind of see that with Haman, is that this is not what we want to do. Because again, let's not be fooled and let's not be deceived and think that we're an exception to this rule. Pride will bring us a downfall, and it will bring consequences that we don't want. And so that's what we need to be reminded of today. And then in the next video, we're going to talk a little bit about a glimpse of the gospel here at the very end of chapter 7. So I hope you'll join us for that. And then we're going to kind of talk about some we're going to see how this the rest of this book is going to end out now that Haman has met his ultimate end. So hope you all have a great day and a great rest of your week. And we'll see you in just a few days. God bless you.